After Buzzers, this season is almost over. We have only one episode left, but tonight we begin the Battle of the Titans. Who made it to the finals? Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There it is. Guys, we are almost wrapped up. It's that time again. Time for another episode of the Titan Games After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. Joining me, as always, some of my absolute favorite hosts on the network. She's a fitness model. You've seen her here since day one. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Juliana Dizon.
Hi. Thank you, Ty. I love your weekly introduction.
Thank you. Gotta get the energy up. We gotta get hyped. To her left, you've seen her on the network before talking about this very show, as well as Botch. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Tyra Prude.
Hey, guys. And yeah. Yeah, energy's always great.
Love the intros. It's the Titan Games. It's not only the Titan Games, it's the Battle of the Titans.
Battle of the Titans.
We got a whole lot to talk about. We have been wondering kind of all season long how exactly this was going to shape up, and we finally got to see what exactly is going on. Single elimination tournament, all the competitions that we've seen before, pitting Titan against Titan. What did you guys think?
I mean, it's probably the way that makes the most sense. But honestly, I was kind of hoping for, like, the option that we touched on where maybe, like, all of them would be competing at the same time and it would be, like, a time race instead. Yeah. Like, I think that would have been, like, really cool.
Same. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of like what we've already seen. It was still cool, though, to see, like, you know, the people who've won beat the other competitors that won, too. But I wanted to see, like, them all go at it. I mean, there's still hope.
Exactly.
Maybe next week.
But I think, yeah, we were all expecting, like, super, like amped up versions of the stuff that we've seen, you know? Like, these are people that have conquered Mount Olympus, you know?
Right.
So, but we'll see. We got so much good stuff, so much good competition tonight. Saw some absolute complete dominance in some of these competitions.
Those ones, the ones that are total domination, they kind of make me sad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because it's just like the other person didn't even have a chance.
Like,
and it
no
makes me
chance
feel really bad
at
for
all.
Them.
It gives you a little bit of excitement. It gives you a little bit of that kind of gasp. But then exactly, in retrospect, you're like, oh, man.
It gives you excitement until the very end when you're hoping that the other competitor will, like, you know, even it out, but then when they just lose, you're like, oh.
Yeah, right,
it definitely
exactly
sucks.
Exactly. So let's start off with, right out of the gate, we got our very first competition, Atlas Smash, featuring the Haitian sensation, James Jean Lewis, all the way from episode one, taking on Christopher Watts. What did you guys think of this one?
James went at it. Like,
so
this
good.
Was so good. Like, I don't think we've ever seen anyone, like, smash the big rock ball like how he did.
Right.
Like, he went ham, full fours, and even after the second one, even when he started getting tired, like, you just saw him, like, talking to himself, and then, boom, like, kills it.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. He was like, come on, let's go.
I love that. Absolutely.
Sometimes you have to do that to get yourself in the mood, but... Yeah, he was the first one that was going around the ball while
yes.
he was smashing
yeah.
it, which
exactly.
I thought was really smart, because everyone else has just hit it in the same spot.
Right.
Right, but it's, yeah, exactly, as the commentators kind of talk about a little bit later on in the episode, if you're kind of going all the way around it, it almost creates sort of like, I don't know what you would call it, almost like a frame kind of, so that... As we saw with James, just a giant chunk of the stone came right off.
Yeah, that was genius. I was just like, oh, my God. And then poor Chris, like, I think with this competition, it's easily for you to get distracted on what the other person is doing.
Right.
And I think maybe that's kind of what happened with him as he was breaking in. Then he was like, oh, I'm going to go to try and go for it. And it was like, oh, it's too heavy. And then had to go back. So it's one of those things where it's like you have to just stay focused on what you're doing to overcome it.
Yeah, exactly. In that way, it reminds me a little bit of Off the Rails, because if you try to take a shortcut, if you try to drop that hammer and pull it too early, then that's going to cost you so much time, and having to go all the way back, keep smashing, and then trying it again. Similarly, how in Off the Rails, if you try to throw that real long line and then have to reel it all the way back, that's going to cost you a lot of time.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly. And... Sorry. As we saw in both iterations of Atlas Smash, it's so exhausting. You're putting so much effort into smashing the stone, then pulling it the first time around. Mm-hmm. You forget you have to do it all over again. Mm-hmm. You just see that. What did you guys think when you saw that sort of, like, exhaustion setting in?
Are we talking still about the boys or the girls?
Both. I think we saw it a little bit in the men's competition. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, moving on to Jess and Ashley, the girls, I think that's my favorite competition I've seen the whole season.
And the first time that we've seen women compete in Atlas Smash this season.
Right, and well, because of that, because it's such a hard thing, and you could really see, especially with the girls, like, the guys get tired, but the girls were, like, after their first one, you could tell they were exhausted. And I mean, literally. Like, if you've ever worked out that hard, you can get exhausted to the point where you literally just want to cry. And I felt like I saw that in them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
and then, go ahead. And to see, like, The Rock have to come in and, like, encourage them, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, sure. If you hear The Rock, like, you got it, then it's like, oh, shoot, I got it, let me start, like, going.
You
got
to think about how many people in the gym have just, like, imagined that. Like, exactly. What if The Rock was right here? Right.
I think I'm going to try that next time I go to the gym. Right. Because if he's there, you can't not pick up your pace. You can't not try harder.
So that's what was really cool about it, and they, like, really went at it because of that. But I thought it was really cool to see that. That, you know, everyone has their struggles. I think we always see, like, we see struggles, but to see them both, like, really, like, get tired was just like, okay, they're still human. And then it kind of showed, like, the meaning of the show, being a champion. They still push through while, you know, even though the circumstances were kind of hard for them.
Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, obviously, everyone on the show is a specimen, spending so many hours and so many days in the gym. But, like, Ashley Hawkins during the women's competition, the size of her shoulders and her arms, mm-hmm. like, you got to think you have to have so much strength. I mean, these things are 350 pounds to be able to just knock them off with the ease that Jess Griffith and James Jean Lewis did. But ultimately, James defeats Christopher Watts. Jess Griffith defeats Ashley Hawkins. Both of them moving on to the Titans Championships next week. Absolutely amazing stuff.
One thing I did like about with Jess and Ashley, how they literally used their whole body. They were jumping.
They were like monkeys.
It was right. Amazing. Like, I don't think we've ever seen that before either. That was cool.
Yeah, exactly. And like throwing that much weight into it. But you got to think that makes them that much more tired and that much more exhausted mm-hmm. the second time around, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you can almost feel it as you're watching it, you know? Yeah. Like, we've all been that tired where we can't even move, you know? But think about being that tired and then having to lift up this giant stone.
Yeah, and twice, because with them in particular, after they got the first one up, you could tell they both kind of turned around. They were like, oh my God, I have to do it again.
Right. So let's talk about the Cyclone next. Let's talk about Christiana Roglowski taking on Nika Sedyi. One thing that jumped out to me about the Cyclone is that it seemed like Nika was kind of staying still in one spot, staying kind of glued mm-hmm. in one spot, whereas Christiana was sort of making her way around the circle. And I think, as we've seen before, the more stationary you stay, the more that kind of works against you, because you're not able to kind of get that momentum, you know, you're not able to kind of get the stone out to those further pillars. What did mm-hmm. you guys think of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I thought Christiana is so cute. Did you see her before? Like, before the competition starts, most of them are, like, in the zone, and they're, like, doing things to get ready, and she's like, ah. She was, like, smiling at everybody. And then this was, like, another thing that I thought about, which I don't know how much it really played into her technique, but she works with horses, so she's used to, I mean, she is with a rope every day, you know, leading horses around, and the kind of the motion that she was doing the swings with is kind of the same way that you would train a horse if you have a horse on a lead and you're leading it around a corral, mm-hmm. you know, so I just thought maybe that movement was a little bit more familiar with her. Obviously,
that was
a lot
good.
More weight
I didn't
on
think
it.
Of that. Yeah. you would think like the commentators would probably go, you know, talk about that. I don't think they mentioned it either.
But I should be a commentator.
You should. Well, you are on our show.
Yeah, there we go. That's good enough.
But I thought it was a really good too. And like going back to what you said about how she was so like calm and sweet, like to see her like dominated while on the other hand, Nika's like this tomboy, like I'm going to kill it. And then the sweet girl.
Yeah.
Just takes it right. in the end.
And then she won and she was like, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And yeah, at 21, she's the youngest Titan in this kind of round of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she pulled it out, knocked that fifth pillar down. So she makes it on. In the men's competition, we had Brad Schaefer taking on Tyler Lucas. Tyler Lucas, of course, flying all the way over from Rammstein, Germany, avenging the loss of his brother. Or not the loss, that sounds like he died.
Yeah.
the defeat of his brother. There you mm-hmm. go. Let's say that. Just a couple weeks ago. When Brad kind of lost that momentum, lost that slack, that's got to be both so physically taxing, but also mentally, you know? It's mm-hmm. got to be such a blow when you just completely lose all that momentum. What do you guys think?
Well, and I noticed, too, that with them, Tyler was, his technique was more like, he was kind of sidestepping and side-shuffling yeah. around versus, like, running forward and pulling the rope behind him. He was kind of square off with it and pulling it around that way.
Yeah, I mean, his comeback was amazing. Like, when Brad lost his momentum, I was just like, oh, okay, it's kind of over now. And then I think, didn't Tyler take down, like, the last three pillars in a row, or from what I remember?
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah,
he
exactly.
came back and, like, killed it. Like, that was another one that kind of blew me away.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like one of the tougher competitions to pull out, let alone, yeah, knocking three down all in succession, mm-hmm. you know? But we get, yes, yeah, so Tyler Lucas defeats Brad Schaefer, advances to the championships next week. We've already got a completely solid field. Guys, remember, if you're watching this on YouTube, we absolutely love you. We want you to be part of the competition. Leave us a comment. Give us a thumbs up. All that good stuff. If you're on iTunes, you know the drill. Download, comment, review, subscribe, rate 5 stars if you're nasty. All that good stuff. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Talk about this. We've only got a couple episodes or one episode after this left. Be part of the conversation. Let's get back into it. Let's talk about the Herculean pull. We talked a little bit about Hercules or Heracles, if you're nasty, last week. We'll get a little bit more into that in our Beyond the Games later on in the episode. But let's talk Bridger Buckley taking on DJ Townsell, both football players, but DJ Townsell, a yoga master.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff very that he was cool. pulling off in that video, my God.
Yeah, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they did a really good job matching up competitors for this one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, I wonder really how much thought and how many factors they take in when they pair people up against each
right.
other. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if they take in like weight versus muscle mass, or like how much they can lift or their power and stuff.
Absolutely,
like that.
I think yeah. I've got to think they've got it down to a science. You know, whether they're pairing people up based on their size or based on their background, or if they're blessed with upper body strength versus lower body strength, as we saw in some of the earlier episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. We saw the people that were top heavy dominate games like Uprising, but then once they get to Mount Olympus, that's where it all falls apart. I think that's very deliberate. That's mm-hmm. my theory. I don't know what y'all think.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of thought goes into this. A lot of planning goes into pitting these Titans against each other.
Oh, yeah, sure. I just wish I really wanted to see more of a stronger competition between them. Like, they both were tied, and Bridger ended up getting the lead, but I wanted to just see them go at it more with the pole. Like, I was really sad that DJ kind of caught on at the end, but
sure.
I mean, it was cool. I guess Bridger got him with his speed, and they were saying strength, too, but it was still a good
competition. That's the thing, yeah. Even if you get to it, if it's, you know, if it's that far along, there's only so much you can do,
right.
you know?
Right. So it was like, oh, I feel like he would have had it if he just got there a little faster. It was
exactly.
one of those unfortunate things. Because he does yoga. Like, we know he's strong.
Right, right,
he
right,
does
right.
yoga.
But Bridger Buckley, 6'2", 220 pounds, spends 5 hours a day in the gym.
Yeah.
Sometimes so you much. Can't quite fight that.
You're right.
But the girls, too. The girls were the same.
And that's, yeah, exactly. Let's talk about, yeah, Charity Witt taking on Kara Lazauskas. My God, talk about dominance.
That was amazing. Yeah. Like, Charity killed it. I literally have it in my notes. Charity kills it and wins.
And wins. Highlight. Yeah, I was sad about this one. I was happy for her, but I was sad for Kara because this was a total domination one.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kara just didn't have any. I mean, she didn't even have her second pull out, so she literally did not even touch the golden
pole. She couldn't figure out her, like, how to pull it.
Right.
I think she just kind of got stuck. Mm-hmm. If she was able to successfully figure out how to pull it out, I think it would have been different because she was great in her previous episode.
Oh, she killed
everything.
Talk about dominance. Her first performance that we saw earlier in the season was absolutely astounding, which is why, mm-hmm. it's so much more disappointing seeing it go down like mm-hmm. this. But like you said, the way that the commentators broke it down, in order to pull those silver poles out, you have to lift up first and then pull. But she's just pulling back, so the friction is working against her that mm-hmm. whole time. And this is the first time we've ever seen the golden pole get pulled out completely untested, uncompletely unchallenged.
Yeah, it wasn't even a competition, really.
Right.
It was like, I'm faster than you.
So that's what made it suck, because it's like, that was more technique, not like bodies. Least skill, if that
right,
makes sense.
Right, but you got to think it's a combination of all the things.
True.
If we're talking about strength and agility, you've also got to throw in how exactly you play the game. I mean, we've seen before with God, I'm completely forgetting the name of a giant kerplunk, whichever that one is. You know, the technique there, as we saw, that kind of worked against guys before, because when they tried pulling that golden pole at too early, that ball just completely locked up and it lost them the competition. So there's a lot to be said for, you know, paying attention to kind of who came before you and paying attention to how exactly you have to do these things. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely unbelievable. Charity Witt, she said this quote, and obviously we've seen so many amazing stories and so many kind of inspirational tales, but one quote from Charity Witt that I absolutely just completely fell in love with, she says, "I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm done." And I think that not much encapsulates kind of the people that are on this show more than that.
Mm-hmm. That was a good quote. I'm sorry. I was like taking it in. I don't want you to think I wasn't like talking.
No,
I was just like, whoa, that was deep.
It's deep. It's inspirational. That's what I'm saying.
I quit when I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. So I didn't quit, but I did. I don't know.
I finish.
Right.
That's what it is. You finish when you're done.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Now, let's finally talk about Lunar Impact. Firstly, let's talk about, Emily Anzulis taking on Jackie Wood, the pit bull versus the swim coach.
Yeah.
Jackie Wood completely dominates this
competition. Total domination.
Like, oh my God, that moment of impact when Emily gets hit by that door.
It was so
sad. That didn't look good.
I honestly think this is the, like, I like it. It's a cool course, but
sure.
it sucks.
Right.
At the same time, like, I hate seeing them bang against the wall and then just get wiped off.
I
like,
know.
It gives me a lot of anxiety.
Oh, sure. No, that's understandable.
I think this is the worst one if you lose, because it's probably like the most embarrassing, because you literally fall off the cliff and then you just drop.
Right.
If you put it that
you're
way,
like,
yeah.
I definitely lost and everybody can see right now.
But
no way around it.
That's a great point. Every other competition, none of them are as decisive as Lunar Impact.
I think that's why it hurts my feelings the most.
You have to literally fall in defeat.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Can we talk about Derek?
We'll get to that.
I'm too excited.
But it's, I think what we saw demonstrated in Jackie versus Emily is that this competition truly lives or dies based on who makes it up that ladder first. If you make it up first and you get to that door with enough of a head start, that it's as good as won, basically, at that point. You have so much momentum working against you to try and work back from that. That I think that's what we saw when Jackie got to it first.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I mean, Emily, she literally had no chance.
Right. So it's It's unfortunate, you know, Emily, 5'2", a black belt, the pit bull. We've seen so much amazing stuff from her this season, but Jackie Wood just that much quicker. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah. But like I said, this is the worst way to lose also, not just for this one in particular, but any of the ones that are like where they've been totally dominated, like mm-hmm. even the Herculean pole also. Because when you don't have a chance, like if you actually don't even have a chance to struggle and fight against the other person, it's like you just lost and you're like, oh, I didn't even get to try,
right.
really.
Yeah. Right, you know? Right, right. So
it sucks.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, you know, high risk, high reward, you know? If you don't make it up that ladder first, you might just be falling completely off the platform.
You're like, you snooze, you lose.
Exactly.
I wonder if people like fight it. Like after the competition, maybe they're like upset off camera and like, I feel like I didn't have a chance. Or like, I thought about that last week when the guy who like pulled one of the poles before the top one.
Oh, it's just like, yeah, exactly what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm curious to know how that goes afterwards when it's like, I didn't even have a chance.
All right.
This training I've been doing. I don't know. I feel like there's some angry person out there.
I'm sure they're angry. I'm sure they're angry. I hope nobody feels slighted or anything because everything, at least obviously a lot happens in the edit. Everything that we've seen seems to be on the up and up.
Yeah.
You know? So who knows? Who knows if other stuff happened off camera or behind the scenes or anything like that.
And they probably signed so many papers, so if there was anything, we'll never know.
Exactly, Let's get Shannon Decker back on the show. Yeah. We'll ask her about it.
Like, even, I can't remember her name. She was the grandma or mom. You remember? She had she did the, when you have to run and the ball hits the blocks. I can't remember what
uprising.
It was. Uprising. Mm-hmm. And you remember how hers kind of like indented to where the ball couldn't gum up?
Right.
Like, I was thinking, like, can she have an argument with that? Or, I don't know.
A rematch?
Yeah. It's just...
Just unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Just unlucky.
Right. But yeah, so let's move on. The final competition of the night, the men's Lunar Impact, Cole Wadsworth, the farmer from Utah, taking on Derek Scott, the lawyer and MMA fighter. My God.
Epic last
I have
competition.
OMG! Exclamation point! Exclamation point!
Oh yeah, no, for sure. there wasn't a whole lot of verbose analysis going on as we were watching this before we went live. We're just all just like jaws dropped, eyes bugging out. Cole Wadsworth looks like he's running away with the thing. Mm-hmm. Pushes Derek Scott almost to the very, very, very edge. Like, oh my God, I could not believe how close he got. And Derek Scott just from somewhere deep within starts pushing back. What did you guys think just when he started pushing back?
Yeah, I mean, I need to know where he pulled that up from.
Right.
I need access to that extra power.
Sure.
Honestly, I think Cole had just got really tired. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I put my all into it and he lost that momentum too soon. Like, he was right there. And that one little slip up, Derek came back and stole the show, literally.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
You got to think you've got to have that one last ditch kind of explosion to finally mm-hmm. make sure that they're completely off the platform. Otherwise, something like this might happen.
Yeah, I think he kind of just like lost it too soon. And then next thing you know.
Dude, I felt so bad for him though, because I mean, another really unlucky, unfortunate circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, the way his feet ended up getting caught under that bar.
I was concerned for him at that point.
I thought he was going to break his
toes. And I was so confused that I felt like no one was concerned. Like, you did not hear the commentator saying anything. Everyone's just like, oh, Derek's going for it. I'm like, guys, his foot is under the pole.
Yeah, I really thought that, like, it looked to me like his toes were stuck under the entire platform.
Right.
I thought his foot would be broken or twisted or something. I mean, you know, he said he was fine to the rock, but I'm sure, like, it hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you're not going to tell the rock you got hurt.
Right. But that was insane. Literally, I had to look away. I'm like, oh, my God, is he going to break a leg?
I know.
Is something going to happen? And, like, I was just worried about even when it was time for him to fall, like, was his leg caught onto it to where he couldn't? I mean, that didn't happen.
Right.
Those were just the thoughts going through my mind as that was going on.
No, it was concerning for sure. One thing that jumped out to me about not only Lunar Impact, but also what we talked about earlier, the Herculean pull with Bridger Buckley versus DJ Tenzel, is the importance of that grunting and that exertion, you know? Like, I feel like we haven't seen a lot of that, but we saw a lot of it in this episode. Yeah. Just digging deep and kind of like with James in the Atlas match as well. You know, that kind of that verbalizing everything and kind of pushing yourself. It's, I feel like that helps a lot of the time. Just like, just that screaming and grunting, you know? It's wild to watch, and it's... It makes it feel even more like the Hunger Games, you know? but it's, yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. Derek Scott pulling out somehow victory from the jaws of defeat, as some of my favorite commentators would say, and running away with Lunar Impact to be the final competitor to make it to the Titan Championships next week.
Amazing.
Woo!
One thing that I had wrote down, like, after he had his win, like, Derek was like, I love you so much, brother. This is for you. That touched me so much because I feel like that's where those grunts and everything came from, too. Like, I can't give up. I can't let my brother down. Like, I just thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. It's a moving tribute, and it's such a heartwarming kind of story. You know, his brother Ian passed away, and so he... That's what pushed him to do all of these things and to get into all of these sports and all of these adventures is trying to be, you know, he talked about being the best big brother that he could be, but also just like what it seems like just living as much life as he can and being the best person that he can be.
Yeah. And it definitely showed in this. What am I trying to say?
In this
event course. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. Exactly. I always find myself almost saying obstacle, but it's so much more than that. These are whole series of obstacles. So we've got eight Titans left to compete in the championship next week, the final episode. We'll get into predictions in a little bit, but... As we do every week, or as we do most weeks, we're going to take you, or I'm going to take you a little bit behind the games. Steven, can you hit me with a sound drop? Just anything? There you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love when Steven's on the soundboard. It's my favorite. Just anything you want to hit.
You know it's Brianna on the soundboard.
Oh, it's Bree.
Hey, Bree.
Bree is also one of my absolute favorite people in the world. So let's get into, you know, we're talking about the Battle of the Titans, but I want to talk a little bit about the Clash of the Titans. I don't know how much you guys know about the Clash of the Titans, but it came out in 1981. It was directed by this gentleman right here. Our YouTube viewers will be able to see it on their screens. This gentleman by the name of Desmond Davis. He directed the original Clash of the Titans. Now, there was a remake, a big, epic 3D remake in 2010. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about the OG Clash of the Titans right here, directed by Desmond Davis. It tells the story of Perseus. Now, Perseus in Greek mythology, there he is right there, my boy Perseus, holding the head of Medusa. He was the greatest slayer of monsters before the era of Heracles or Hercules, who was also his great-grandson.
Wow.
But this right here, this guy right here is what Clash of the Titans is known for. This is a gentleman by the name of Ray Harryhausen, who was a pioneer in the art of stop motion animation. And Clash of the Titans was not only his most notable work, but it was his final work before he retired. And as you'll see, there's Medusa, there's Cerberus, there's, I believe, Gorgon. I'm not quite sure, but Ray Harryhausen absolutely pioneered stop-motion animation, paved the way for movies like all of the Laika movies that we see these days, things like Paranorman, Coraline, all that stuff, movies like The Corpse Bride. Anything stop-motion animation was touched in some way by Ray Harryhausen. And since we're talking about Battle of the Titans, I wanted to talk a little bit about The Clash of the Titans. So go find that. It's an amazing movie. When it came out, it wasn't completely beloved. It's only sitting at 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, which could be better, could be worse. But yeah, it's worth it to check out the amazing work of Ray Harryhausen. It holds up more than you think. I'll say that. We can't show you a clip, but go find Clash of the Titans on YouTube. There's amazing stuff out there. It's awesome. To see.
How long is it? Is it like normal movie length?
I don't think it's super long. I think it might be maybe 80, 90 minutes, something like that. I don't think it's a huge epic. I'm not entirely sure. We're gonna find out real quick. But yeah,
48 minutes long.
It's how much?
48 minutes.
48 minutes. Oh my God. It's especially short. I was not expecting that at all. So yeah, go find that. Go check that out. We got Perseus cutting the head off Medusa and fighting Cerberus and, or maybe not Cerberus, maybe that was Hercules. I don't know. Go find Clash of the Titans. If you want to watch the remake, I think Sam Worthington was in it. That was all right. But OG, that's what we're talking about. So we've got 8 people left. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen. Let's get into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. 1 episode left. We have got James Jean Lewis taking on Bridger Buckley. Derek Scott taking on Tyler Lucas on the men's side. On the women's side, we've got Christiana Roglowski taking on Jackie Wood. And Charity Witt taking on Jess Griffith. I want to ask you guys, is there anyone jumping out in your minds that you think will go all the way?
Well, for me, I just had this feeling about Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put Jackie as the overall winner.
Okay.
However, okay. I also had a good feeling about Christiana, but they're competing in the first round.
Sure.
So obviously can't be both of them.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Something is telling me Jackie.
You're going with Jackie. Okay, going with the swim coach. All right, I see it. I see it. Tyra, what do you think?
For women, I'm going with Jackie also.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, I mean, she, like, did her thing today.
Sure.
So, yeah, but it's between her and Charity. Those are my two.
Okay, all right.
And then, can I say the men?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, both sides,
James Jean Lewis. I think he really showed, he did good today. He
has
good technique and he's strong. I can see him going on. Him and Derek.
Definitely.
Yeah, the guys is harder for me. I feel like all the ones that are final now, I feel like they're all pretty equal.
Sure.
In size and strength and ability.
Mm.
I really don't know. I would maybe also, I don't know. Give me a minute to think about it.
We'll come back to it. Okay. I'm on the same page as Tyra with James Jean Lewis. I think the Haitian sensation is going to take it all next week in the Titan Championship on the men's side. On the women's side, I feel like it's closer. They're all, like you said, they're all kind of so even.
Yeah.
I would love to see Christiana Roglowski, the youngest competitor in the championship, take it all the way, 21 years old, win the whole thing. I'd like to see that, but who knows? It all depends on what events we see and what skill sets they favor, you know?
Well, okay, help me with the guys. So who's matching up against each other?
James Jean Lewis will be taking on Bridger Buckley, and Derek Scott will be taking on Tyler Lucas.
Okay. So I'm going to say James and Tyler to be in the final.
Okay.
And then if that was the case, I would have to go James
to win. Sure.
Although Tyler, I would say, is my favorite.
Right, exactly. It's hard not to root for him with that whole background, that whole story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like Christiana is my favorite.
Of course.
But I think Jackie might.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
They're all good. So it's just like, I think we're going to be surprised.
Exactly. Yeah. We saw in the preview, we might see a little bit of uprising. We might see some other stuff. You know, who knows? It's all going to depend on what events they are. Like I said, what skill sets they favor. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's going to be exciting stuff. If you guys have any sort of predictions, make sure to find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, leave us a comment on YouTube, on iTunes, all that good stuff. But we will be back next week, same time, same channel, talking about the season finale of Titan Games. Guys, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they can find you?
Hey, guys, you can find me on Instagram at Julana. But yes, please leave us a comment. I really want to know who everybody thinks is going to be the winner. I'm really interested to know. So let us know what you think.
Same, what she said. And you guys can find me on all social media platforms at _ Tyra Prude. And you can also find me on the Botched After Show. And again, here next week.
There you go. Guys, as always, my name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews, PMA. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. That's the PlayStation Network. I'm rocking the LA Gladiators hat right here for the Overwatch League. Shields up. If you're on PlayStation Network, come play Overwatch with me, all that good stuff. I'm also on the Magicians After Show on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Pacific time. We're rolling on with Season 4, all that good stuff. Lots of magical stuff happening. On Saturdays, if you're a wrestling fan, check me out on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, all that good stuff. But we will be back, like I said, next week, talking the Titan Championships. But until then, peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.